The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. What do you think is really going on with this Michael Williams Medford 549 school board issue? Buffy Pawlik put an article in the recent Rogue Valley Times. Medford school board member Williams responds to complaints. Now remember, Michael Williams is the man. I've had him on the show a few times. We'll probably have to get him back on, assuming he'd be able to talk. He's lawyered up here recently. But he's the one that first brought to attention, to everyone's attention, the unpleasant truth of what seems to be undue influence. And you have the happy jazz hands superintendent Brent Champion always goes on the media and goes, ooh, it's happy jazz hands and everything's just fine and this and that and the other. That essentially they reassigned a well-loved school resource officer, a school cop, back to regular patrol duties. And then they got something different in there. And Michael Williams alluded on my show and in other media outlets that this had to do with kind of covering up safety issues. Kids being brought back into schools that had been involved in shootings or knifings or whatever the case might be. And it wasn't a real good thing. And the school resource officer raised the alarm and, of course, got sideways with Mr. Happy Jazz Hand Superintendent Champion. And there seems to be a circling of the wagons over at the Medford School Board, which is kind of surprising to me because I always thought that, you know, the school board is there to represent the parents. And when you have a parent like Michael Williams, who was on the board, but also has kids within the district, you would think that they would take him a little more seriously. I don't know what's going on in there. I know Michael doesn't have the appearance of a standard school board member. You know, a big guy with, and I guess he works on at a hemp plant or of something. But the latest complaints that were coming out here center around an alleged heated discussion at district offices October 15th, Buffy writes, between Champion and Williams. The complaint detail concerns over the meetings between Williams and Champion in which district employees alleged that Williams was swearing and yelling in front of staff. The complaints also touch on Williams visiting schools without proper notice. I didn't know that was a crime, did you? You're a school board. You are the elected school board representative. You are the elected representative for parents. In what you're supposed to... it would seem to me that if you are the elected school board representative, that you should have access to just about anything in that damn school. Whenever you would wish to, as long as you are not causing disruption. That always kind of surprises me when I read this kind of stuff. You know, Lars is always talking about, hey, you know, if you want to really make a difference in life, you know, go out there and join the school board. I disagree with you because I think that the government school system is absolutely irredeemable. It cannot be reformed from inside because what really controls the schools are the teachers' unions. That's what tends to control most of the schools. The teachers' unions and the woke academics, the woke academics, rather, okay? But be that as it may, it would seem to me that we would be happy that you would have a Michael Williams concerned about safety issues, and so he just drops in the school. Okay, fine. You're the elected parental representatives. You're here representing the people and visiting schools without proper notice. I mean, what? Do you have to notify the school district so that Happy Jazz Hands superintendent is prepared to hide the woke stuff? I mean, I don't know. You know, well, we have to make sure and put up a Potemkin village for the school board members when they come by to be able to make sure that they think that things are all right. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here with you this morning. But if you have any particular thoughts, or maybe you have a child in the district and you know maybe a little bit about what's going on there, what do you think's really going on? Because now they're going after him because one of the things that they are really concerned about is that he came to school without proper notice, and he's wearing a work tool belt. A work tool belt. And that tool belt contained a pair of shearers and a knife while on school district property. So apparently there must be no shears. No scissors or shears or knives of any kind that any teachers, if you're in art class, what, you're probably taking your fingernail? If you're cutting the paper, you're probably taking your fingernail and make sure your fingernail is long enough so you can scrape your fingernail across the paper. Is that the kind of pathetic policy we have at Medford 549C for Mr. Jazz Hands? I don't know. I shouldn't really say that about Brett. It's just there something about school superintendents. There seems to be a push for the insipid. But anyway, they're upset with him about this, wearing a work tool belt, not talking about things as he's showing up. I remember Julie Niles Fry used to work here at Bi-Coastal Media, but she also used to be a member of the Rogue River School District School Board. She was on that school board. And she would tell me how everything about the way that school boards are run in the state of Oregon is that, oh, no, you can't just walk in and monitor a class and see what's going on. Oh, no, no, no. You have to sit around there and run everything through the management before you, the supposed representative, the people who are actually elected to make and set policy here. And she says it's kind of a fraud. And she's very frustrating about this. And it sounds like, to me, that the push is to circle the wagons, continue the fraud known as the Medford 549C School District Board, and get rid of Williams. Because Williams is raising uncomfortable questions. Now, it seems to me that showing up with a school belt, with a tool belt, of course, what I'm kind of wondering is that does Michael Williams have a concealed handgun or concealed weapons permit, a CHL? Because I know he could even carry a gun on Medford School Board property or school property, even though it's against the district policy. But they haven't banned it. They actually haven't used it to ban it yet. But a knife and shears on a tool belt. So they're upset with him about that. Okay. Now, William says in the story, in a written statement, as far as I know, all I ever did was ask some questions that made administrators uncomfortable. Yep, you don't want to make Mr. Jazz Hands happy, right? Uncomfortable. I have been advised by counsel to not give any additional details at this time. I appreciate the continued support I've received from community members. So this is about the, you know, the long visible knife. Yeah, we know that the children have never been exposed to long visible knives in the hands of adults. Anyway, Williams said on Monday that he had been encouraged to resign prior to Thursday's meeting by school board chair Cynthia Wright. Oh, yeah, they want him out. Okay. She said that the only way the complaints don't go forward is if the person who the complaints are against steps down. And Wright declined to comment on the claim. In an email to the Times, Cynthia Wright said, "For me to comment on things I'm hearing through the media would be irresponsible. I've not heard from Michael since he failed to show up at the board meeting, which was held days after he received the complaints against him. The meeting was public and noted, so it's been on his calendar for some time." So if you have a thought about that, or maybe a little bit of insight, please let me know. But my suspicions, my spidey sense says that they want to get rid of the person who is asking uncomfortable questions about management at Medford 549C and Mr. Happy Jazz Hands and all the rest of it. You have any thoughts? 770-5633. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference. Not sure what to buy your loved one for Christmas? Can't find what you're looking for? A gift card from Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the perfect choice. Let them choose from Legacy Bedliners, tonneau covers, canopies, running boards, floor liners, and much more. See Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and make shopping a breeze.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
731, Dr. John Lott will join us here in a few minutes. We're told that illegal aliens don't commit much crime. And John says, wait a minute, hold on. Have you actually looked at the numbers? So we'll have that talk. Terry's here. Hey, Terry, how are you doing this morning? What's on your mind?
I'm doing good. Happy Thanksgiving, Bill.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, and I hope you're enjoying. What are you going to do, by the way?
We're just sticking around town. We're not doing anything, really.
All right. Canned cranberry or real stuff?
I don't like cranberries.
You don't like cranberries?
No. And okay. I don't even like turkey. I take the ham over any of that stuff any day.
Okay. All right. Well, Thanksgiving ham, that's all right. That's all right. No problem with that.
Right.
Well, for me, yeah, it's real cranberries. But go ahead.
I got an oddball question for you. You know, we hear about this guy. We don't even know if he's real or not. I don't think I've ever heard of him. But who's the man behind the curtain for you? Who is your boss? And I just wanted to give him kudos for, you know, how he runs things there.
That would be George Fiola. George Fiola is the general manager here, and he is not our imaginary boss or imaginary friend. He really does exist, and you can actually hear him on Cool 103.5. He does Saturday afternoons a lot of times on there during the 70s on Saturday show. It's good stuff.
I got you. I was just wondering, if he was ever an on-air guy and stuff like that. So, okay, yeah, like I said, I just wanted to give him kudos, and once again, Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Yeah. George does a good job on that. Great rock jock. It's a 732 at KMED.
Every carpenter wants to teach his son how to do carpentry. But daughters can build things, too. So when it comes to carpentry, tools, lumber, and building materials, remember that making the right choice is very important. And the right choice for lumber and other building materials is Hughes Lumber. At Hughes Lumber, they offer the best lumber at the best prices to all builders. Hughes Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is calling lawmakers to Salem for a special session December 12th to pay bills incurred by the 2024 wildfire season, where a record 1.9 million acres burned this year. She says the cost to the state is $350 million. She wants the legislature to release $218 million. Medford School Board member Michael Williams says he will not resign over formal complaints against him, and he's lawyered up. One of the complaints against Williams was over a heated argument with District Superintendent Brett Champion. The other complaint has to do with Williams showing up on district property wearing his work tool belt, which held a knife. Police continue to investigate a shooting that happened late Tuesday morning in Rogue River on West Evans Creek Road. The suspect is in custody. The victim has been hospitalized. They haven't released any other information. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. A ceasefire agreed to by Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon has taken effect, and so far, it's been holding. The classified documents case against President-elect Trump has been dropped by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Another legal victory for Mr. Trump comes after the election interference case was tossed out. During their tour of the southern border yesterday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and incoming U.S. Border Czar Tom Homan served meals to hundreds of Texas National Guardsmen and others involved in securing the border under the state's Operation Lone Star initiative. The Great Thanksgiving Getaway is well underway now. Today expected to be the busiest day for air travel during the holiday period. On Wall Street this morning, stocks have been mixed so far. The Dow is trading about 75 points higher, while the Nasdaq is down 154. This is SRN News.
Yo, 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 Dad is in the house. What do you call the NordVPN Black Friday deal, huh? The Block Friday deal. Because you block online threats. Black Friday, Block Friday, get it? It's hilarious. Get the NordVPN Black Friday deal and block online threats now. NordVPN is rated as outstanding on PC Mag. Just visit NordVPN.com and discover the benefits of this all-around cybersecurity tool. It will encrypt your online traffic. NordVPN's Threat Protection Pro Tool will defend you against web trackers, malicious websites, and malware-ridden downloads. So improve your digital privacy and protection with one simple click. Get the special Black Friday deal at NordVPN.com and enjoy safer internet daily. NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
The song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young only reached number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, but it stands the test of time. If you have a very, very, very fine house, Millett Construction wants to help you keep it that way. So if the vase that you bought today looks a bit tilted on the table, it might be a sloping floor due to a shifting foundation. Call Millett Construction for an inspection and estimate to permanently correct the issue so your house stands the test of time, too. MillettConstruction.com.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
At Pressure Point Roofing, your home is our passion. From your initial call to completing your project to standing behind the work we've done, we strive for excellence in every aspect of the job. For over 35 years, we've been your go-to roofing professionals every step of the way. Living in this community means we see you every day at the gas station, the store, and Little League games. Doing the job right for you and our community is important to us. Choose Pressure Point Roofing for a job done with care and integrity. Visit PressurePointRoofing.com today. Pressure Point Roofing, your roof, our passion.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Anytime you want to know what's really going on with crime, don't go to your mainstream media shill. Best thing to do is to go to Crime Prevention Research Center. And crimeresearch.org is the website. And that was founded by Dr. John Lott. The whole foundation was founded by this. Dr. John Lott Jr., economist, world-recognized experts on guns and crime and just crime and more crime. Doctor, it's great to have you back on. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope all is well with you. Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. One of the things that, we're told quite often in this, especially with the incoming Trump administration here, Dr. Lott, is that, you know, the focus on mass deportations has been stirring the imagination amongst the mainstream media, in which jackbooted thugs will be going in and grabbing, breaking up families and getting here. And one of the things you'll hear quite often is that illegal immigrants don't cause much crime. And when claims like that get made again and again, I wanted to go to you and find out if that's really true. Or is there an untold story that doesn't fit the narrative that's being painted right now? What do you say?
Well, I think usually what happens, or virtually always what happens, is people who are talking about crime by migrants mix together crime by people who are legally here in the United States and those who are here illegally. People who are here illegally apparently look like they commit crime at very low rates. The people who are here illegally commit crime at very high rates. So, you know, one thing that just came out recently was about a month before the election, the deputy director at ICE responded to a request from a congressman, Gonzalez, from Texas, about people being released in the United States and their criminal backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so there's 7.4 million of these so-called non-detained individuals who were processed and then released into the United States.
Does this include people that are given what's called parole, I guess is what it is? They were given parole by the Biden administration. Is that right?
that's just a part of it. But it's just generally people that are processed and released. Parole actually gives them certain legal protections that not all of them have. So, but of those 7.4 million, 662,000 of them, after they'd been released in the United States, were identified as having a criminal record. It's possible that the number for that is actually even higher, but that's about 9% of the total. And the problem is, that's very likely an underestimate of the problem that you have with illegals coming in, because about 80% of those 7.4 million were people who voluntarily turned themselves in at the border. Those are unlikely to be the ones that you should be most concerned about. The ones who are caught, which are about 20% of that total, are, you know, probably had reasons to avoid going through processing. But the thing is, we're not even catching all of those. We have about 2 million so-called gotaways during the Biden administration, for example.
And we have no idea, right? We have no stats on what they're up to, right?
Yeah, no, because we just see them coming across, but we don't have any contact with them. And then we have untold millions more that we didn't even see coming across the border. One of the things that happened under the Biden administration was that they removed about 90% of the border agents who had been guarding the border and instead used them to go and process the illegals that were coming across. And then we have passive monitoring systems. We have cameras, for example, on the border. But a couple months ago, it came out that the Biden administration acknowledged that 30% of the passive system is not working, and they haven't been repairing it. So we have huge portions of the border where we're not monitoring. We have no clue how many people may be coming across.
And I would imagine the current administration probably not very curious about what's really going on. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and the problem is those people who are avoiding it are probably the ones that are the ones we should be most concerned about. Mm-hmm. So if 9% of the 7.4 million, where most of those, 80% of them, are ones who voluntarily turned themselves in, and we're still getting 9% have criminal backgrounds, one can only imagine what it's like for the ones that we never process.
Now, a couple of days ago on crimeresearch.org, you ended up putting up a post here talking about the cost of illegal alien crime. Illegal aliens, and you're actually working. It's going to be a Real Clear Investigations. The whole paper will be coming out here soon. Is that right? Is that what's going to happen?
It came out on Monday.
Oh, on Monday.
So here's the thing. We've obviously been concerned about the costs, victimization costs of crime in the United States. Reason why you want to try to measure things like that, you know, things like the health costs, healthcare costs, lost wages, pain and suffering. There's a whole list of things that the National Institute of Justice and the Department of Justice has spent a lot of money trying to go and measure. And the reason is that if we figure the cost to the victims, the greater they are, the more we justify spending on law enforcement and other things to try to reduce those costs. The greater the cost, the more it's worthwhile spending money to try to reduce it.
And I would imagine this Trump administration would like to get ahead of this, because there's been incoming on Tom Homan, the incoming border czar. And they're saying, well, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to get these criminal illegal aliens out there. And so this research, though, is indicating that they're already costing us a lot of money, right?
The thing is, so the ICE report only lists one crime that these individuals were either convicted or charged with. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them undoubtedly commit lots of crimes, but they only list one. And if you assume that they just commit that one crime again in the United States, and take these estimates from the National Institute of Justice, you're talking about $166.5 billion in terms of victimization costs that are there. There's a group that's against deportation that has gotten a lot of attention. They claim that for every 1 million people that we deport, it's going to cost $88 billion. So if you take the 662,000 number there, you're talking about, you know, it'd be a little bit over $50 billion, which is one third of this extremely conservative estimate of the victimization costs that are there. So, you know, it's
in other words, it is a price worth paying for society, for peace and order and tranquility within the greater United States. Fair enough. I mean, really, it's a more than even trade.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be reducing the cost to the victims much, much more. And that, look, there are other things that are there too. We're providing, you know, rental assistance. We're giving money to these individuals. They're getting free health care. They're getting schooling. They're getting all sorts of benefits that are there. And that's putting real strain on local governments and state governments across the country. And, you know, you won't have to bear those costs, too. I mean, this $88 billion estimate for every million people deported, which I think is a huge overestimate. But even if you accept it, it's not including all these benefits that we're giving to the illegals, let alone the fact that we can hopefully reduce some of these crime, these costs to victims.
Talking with Dr. John Lott Jr. once again, crimeresearch.org, the foundation that he, a research foundation that he ended up founding here. And latest post here, $166.5 billion, very conservative estimate of criminal victimization costs from criminal illegal aliens released into the United States. It's very thought-provoking. I wonder here, Doctor, and I'm asking for speculation on your part, if the federal government doesn't tend to look as seriously as this cost because the victimization costs aren't necessarily borne by government budgets. Or is that true? Because, you know, when you talk about victimization costs, you know, the victims a lot of times are just kind of stuck, have to go through with insurance or else, you know, they lose loved ones. I mean, all these kind of things. What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, the government only picks up a fraction of the victimization costs. You know, insurance, as you say, is going to pick that up. You know, there's some victim compensation funds that are out there, but, you know, those really only give a tiny, tiny fraction to the extent that they even make payouts to victims of crime.
But law-abiding Americans are bearing the cost, most of the cost probably. You know, really,
they're facing 99% or 95% or so of the costs that are there. I mean, if you have something stolen, if you have your car stolen, or if you have to, you know, you can't go to work for a week because you're in the hospital, you lose wages there. You know, maybe you have insurance or something that covers it, but the government's not picking that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the point being, though, is that regular people have had to bear this cost. Government has certainly borne some of that, and then the regular folks have to pay again via taxation. But then to be told that illegal immigrants, illegal aliens don't cost us a lot of money here and that they're not committing a lot of crime, that's just not true according to the numbers. And when you have that conservative estimate of $166 billion contrasted with $60 billion to deport probably the worst of the worst, there is absolutely no choice but we're going to have to do something like this. And I don't know if you get into it. Has Tom Holman ever talked with you? You know, the incoming border czar, has he ever talked with you about such matters? Just curious.
No, I haven't. I've never talked to him. Okay. I mean, he seems like a great guy, but I haven't talked to him.
Yeah, all right. And so this research is out there now, and are you getting this into the proper hands in the incoming administration?
Well, I've sent it to people. You know, we'll have to see. My guess is people are pretty busy right now just trying to get their legs under them for the new administration.
Now, the state of Oregon already has, the state of Oregon admits that it has about 120,000 illegal aliens in the state of Oregon in its system right now. That's what they admit. It's probably more than that, really.
Oh, it's obviously much more than that.
Yeah, I would think so. But they will admit to 120,000. But, you know, they're already talking about resistance and what they're going to do to resist any kind of law enforcement activity. We're a sanctuary state situation where law enforcement is not allowed to, we're not allowed to assist law enforcement. But I guess what I would wonder is the possibility that is it a crime to resist law enforcement in this particular case? I don't know. Maybe that's something that will have to be researched over time.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is to interfere with it. I mean, they don't have to actually go out of their way to help out. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is a crime to actually interfere. The problem that you're going to face is that about 2/3 of the circuit and district court judges in the country are Democrats, and you're going to, you know, if you have these Democrats refusing to help or actually going and interfering, presumably a lot of these Democratic judges, you have to worry, will have similar views on these issues. And, you know, you have the Ninth Circuit for Oregon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a very liberal circuit court there. And so eventually, it may take a fair amount of time, but eventually the Supreme Court would have to get involved.
It'll be interesting to see where this goes. It kind of astounds me where we have politicians supposedly representing law-abiding Americans advocating for keeping criminals on the dole here.
I mean, one of the big problems that you have, I mean, you just had a case a week ago in Boston where you had three illegals caught for engaging in child rape. And one of them, at least, was a Brazilian who had been convicted in his home country of child rape. And they were released without even identifying the federal government. You know, so, you know, it really increases the workload for ICE to go and catch these people and deport them when you have that.
And boy, how do you put a price? You know, you already had this $166 billion conservative estimate of criminal victimization costs. How do you put a price on the cost of someone raping your child, Dr. Lott? Boy, how do you put a dollar number on something like that? That kind of a heinous crime.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's very difficult. And I'm sure, you know, just measuring things like the medical costs and maybe, you know, psychiatric services and other things that are there aren't going to fully get all the costs that are involved with something like that.
Well, this is very thought-provoking research here, and I'm going to forward this along to our congressman, too, because I have no doubt that part of the resistance in 2025 is going to be resisting the deportation of the criminal movement, which a lot of Americans polled, majority of Americans polled won it. But the political resistance to the incoming administration is all in on being against this. So I want to make sure that the congressmen have the latest information on this one. $166.5 billion, a conservative estimate of criminal victimization costs from criminal illegal aliens released into the United States. All right. And that's Dr. John Lott, Jr., crimeresearch.org. And I will put all that information up on KMED.com. Dr. Lott, happy Thanksgiving. Be well. And we will talk to you again with some more research coming out, no doubt. Okay? You be well.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you very much. It's 7:55 here on KMED 99.3 KPXG.